I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, world. Welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Welcome to the show where I talk to actors and make them tell me the stories of the roles they almost got. It's fun. We have a good time. As a reminder, my interviews are usually recorded weeks in advance. The interview you're about to hear was recorded prior to the murder of George Floyd. With that said, there is a link in the show notes for blacklivesmatters.carrd.co, and that's going to take you to a website where you can make donations if you have the ability to do that. But it also has great resources, great things that you can learn about, daily tasks, petitions, places you can call. It's a really great link that's going to be in the show notes, so make sure you click that after listening to this, or while you're listening to this, you can also do that as well, and use your time wisely. Today on the show, we have my good friend Patrika Darbo. I've known her since I was a kid. We've done several things together. We did a show that my mom and I produced when I was a teenager called Misbehave. She was in another show with me called Acting Dead that she actually won an Emmy for. We have a new film called Vinyl Child that's coming out soon where she plays my mom. And it's super fun. I love working with her. She's always a blast. You probably know her best from Days of Our Lives, Bold and the Beautiful, Step by Step, Hatchet. I mean, the list goes on and on. She recently won an Indie Series Award for her work in the show Studio City. And she's up for an Emmy Award this weekend. So fingers crossed. I hope she gets it. This is my conversation with Patrika Darbo. Welcome to Patrika Darbo!
Woo! Yay!
She's here, thunderous ladies applause. And gentlemen. Thunderous. Heard thunderous. From the mountains of Everest. How are you?
I'm good today. And what was even better was I realized I didn't have to put my makeup on or put a bra on. I could sit here and talk to you.
The joy of recording from home.
There you go.
Oh my goodness. So pretty exciting. Today we're recording this, you know, in the past when you're listening to this, we're recording this in May, but today is the day before the Emmys and you're nominated for an Emmy.
Yes. Thank you very much for Studio City. I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. I cannot wait. I have my fingers crossed for you. You so deserve it. You deserve all the Emmys. I just want to give them all to you.
Thank you very much, honey. And right back at you. You deserve them too. You're a wonderful actress and also a producer, writer, director. You give women a good name, baby.
Aw, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I don't even know where to start with you because we've known each other for so long. So I feel like I know what you've done, but I know that there's a lot of things that I don't know about you because, hi, we can't know everything. But let's go back. Let's go back to like when you started acting and what got you into it.
My mother would say I was acting when I came out of the womb. I did a lot of things when I was a kid and scouts and school and then in high school and then in college. And then I came to California. I acted part-time because I was a full-time credit manager, so it made it very hard when I worked in an office. But it all worked out. So I met my husband on stage at the Burbank Little Theater. We got married on the Golden Mall stage, and that'll be 47 years this December. So things are working out there. I remind him second marriages are the best and he's only my first, which keeps him on his toes. but it was, I guess it's what you have to say, one of those marriages made in heaven kind of thing, because he married me because I can run every power tool. I think, from my schooling and background and everything, I can build a set, sew a costume, and then get on there and sing or dance or act and do whatever I need to do. So the one thing I would say to any of the listeners who want to be in this business is to make sure you get your education. Even if it's not in regular school or regular college, that you still are studying somewhere, that you're constantly learning, because I'm a dinosaur in a new digital world myself. And if it wasn't for
you're
people,
you're not
like
a dinosaur.
Yes, honey, I am. But I'm a raptor. Let me just tell you right now. I worked full time. Acting was just a part time thing for me until 1984. And in 1984, I had finally had enough of the real world business, as I called it.
Yeah.
And you know how things, you know, one door closes and another one opens. I met Del Shores. He was working, putting a show on at a little theater in North Hollywood that my friends owned, and they lost one of their characters. And my friend said, "Well, we have a perfect lady for you. You need to audition her." And so they did. It was called Cheatin', and I originated the role of Maybelline in that one. And then Del wrote Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, and I got to be the originator of Marlene in that one. And we ran for 2 years at Theater Theater, which is now a Greyhound bus stop.
That's sad.
Right there on Cahuenga and Hollywood Boulevard. And we went to Edinburgh, Scotland to perform in the Fringe with it. And then myself and Molly McClure, who has since passed away, she and I got to reprise our roles from stage to film. From that film, I got put under contract to what was then Lorimar, who sold me to, it's kind of like slavery in this business, who sold me to ABC, and I started doing Step by Step.
I love that show.
Oh, it's so much fun. But I had a lot of other, I did the Jeffersons back in the 70s and different strokes. So I had a good television background and some film background. Little known that I did Keanu Reeves' first film, which was called The Night Before. Yes. And Lori Loughlin was the leading lady in it. And it was very fun. It was kind of high school-y thing, date night. So
how that cute.
It was a fun thing. And I'll tell you this, which probably will help with for some things, is that my agent called and said, Monica Swan, that was the casting director, wants to see you at ABC Network, which used to be over on Century Plaza, Century Park West. Anyway, so she said, but she wants you to come dressed as a sleazy Madonna bimbo.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what? Me? No, I don't, you know, thinking they know they have the wrong person, but my just said, no, she wants you there. So I had my hair ratted up and scarves in it and jewelry. And I was dressed in a leopard dress and come F me pumps with little socks. I did look like a very large Madonna. And I went tripping through there trying to find where I was supposed to be, which was hysterical.
It was, honey.
Let me just say, with all the business people and there I am dressed like that, looking like an old tired hooker, was not a good thing. When I got off the elevator, suddenly there were a whole bunch of sleazy Madonna type bimbos, but they all had to stand at least 6 feet tall, look like stupefying Jones out of Little Abner. And I was like, oh my God, they don't know who I am. This is it. And it's like at that point you think, I have nothing to lose at this point.
I'm just going to go for it.
I'm just going for it. The hell with it. So when it was my turn to go in, I walked in there and the director gave me one of those looks like, oh my God, what is this? And then he glanced over at Monica Swan. And Monica went, she kind of winked at him and said, just and like put her hand up, like, just wait. Anyway, needless to say, I got the part.
That's
the part
amazing.
Was like, it was a very filthy phone call, which I made it very filthy. And I got the part. So
I love it.
So I had 2 days as a nice guest actress in a film with Keanu Reeves first thing and Lori Loughlin. So it was fun.
Gosh.
It was fun. But those are the kind of things that if I had chickened out, not gone, look what would have happened. So do it. Go for it unless you find it morally offensive.
Always do it. Unless you find it morally offensive, like you said.
There you go.
Do there the thing. Go. So you did all these amazing things, clearly, and you've been working basically your whole life. And now you also are the co-governor for Performers Group at the Television Academy, which is amazing as well. You are always working and fighting for performers. What made you decide to get into that side of things as well?
Well, I think I'm pretty much an activist. I did a lot of, when I first started working on Days of Our Lives, I didn't understand why if I worked on a show for 3 days, why I wasn't getting 3 days pay.
Right.
But their contracts worked a lot different, which I didn't understand because I did not do a lot of daytime.
Yeah. So, and that was back when SAG and AFTRA weren't merged.
Yeah, when they
and it
weren't,
was just
when they
AFTRA.
Were separate. Yeah, right. Absolutely. So I got involved and I ended up being on the board nationally and locally and worked, you know, diligently for that because I personally feel like the actors sometimes get the short end of the stick. You can write the script, you can light the stage, you can have a director, but if you don't have a performer there, then you're out. So why are we always the bottom rung? So anyway, so
I
the activist in me got involved there. The Television Academy, I was asked to run and I did, and I won, which was another thing. And so I'm having a good time.
Yeah, I love that I know you and that's something that you do because not a lot of actors will, you know, be activists for other performers in that fashion. And I think it's so interesting that you've done this and like really inspiring. And hopefully I can do it one day too.
Well, I think we should all do the basic thing to realize is that, yes, this is a competitive business we're in.
Yeah.
But let it be competitive in the business side. Don't compete. Don't be ugly in your competition.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in the fact that you're talented. And remember that if you walk in the door for an audition, they already know you're talented and can do the job. Now it just depends on whether you're the right type for the guy that they've got or right type for the other woman that's there.
All the other stuff.
It's all of those things. You're already talented or you would not be in there because a casting director is not going to bring in somebody they can't trust to represent their work. So know that and trust that and do the best you can and then let it go.
Let it go, baby. Sing it like Elsa does.
There you go.
Let it go.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Oh my goodness. So going back here for a second, Days of Our Lives, how did that come about? Because you've been on and off that show for forever, and it's how we initially met as well, way back in my Days of Our Lives days.
It's true. You were just a little baby at the time.
I was a tiny baby.
Fran Bascom was the casting director at the time. She has since passed over. But she did a lot of theater, and she'd seen me in Daddy's Dying, and we have mutual friends, and we were at a party. And she asked me, she said, Patrika, have you ever thought about doing a soap? And well, I said, well, of course, work is work. Of course I'd do it.
Yeah.
and all the time in my head, I'm thinking I'm going to go on, be in a bar. Here's your peanuts. Do you want anything else to drink? That kind of thing. Or the baby's down for the evening. I'm going to leave now. That kind of stuff. But it turned out that it was to be the wife of a very renowned doctor, Mr. Handsome's Kevin Spiritus, who is your typical soap opera looking guy, Mr. I stepped out of Vogue magazine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was like, holy crap, what is this about? But it was interesting that he loved me for who I was, and I loved him for who he was. I was not a size 2 unless you put a 0 on the end of it.
Oh my gosh.
and I really wasn't signed for a contract at the time, but the show aired 2 weeks later for my first show. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, they told me that the lights lit up at NBC and people were like, this is wonderful. We love the fact we can live through this woman and, you know, she's us. And I had a 3-year contract.
Because you're more relatable than, you know, all of these superstar models that normally are on soap operas where you have the person who looks like...
And I think that was, it was like, the people didn't vicariously have to live through a tiny little lady. They could, you know, if I got him, they could get him. It was a wonderful self-esteem kind of character to give out there and stuff. And
I think that's also why you guys keep going back. Like, you guys are such a relatable and well-known and inspirational couple. Like, I feel like that's why fans have always wanted you guys to keep going back to the show, because you're so real.
That, I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, sometimes the people used to ask us, did we have different writers and stuff? And I think it wasn't so much because we always had the same writers. I think it was because, you know, Kevin and I had such a good rapport with each other, and we really worked on our, you know, in the makeup room before we went on, in our dressing rooms, we really worked hard on our dialogue and stuff like that. And he'd be another good character for you to have at a later date, would be to get him on there, because he's, you know, now writing and producing his own show after
Forever.
Won a ton of Emmys last year and got nominations this year also. Mm-hmm. So, but I
love Kevin.
Him.
He's so sweet, and you guys make such a great duo.
And, you know, and it's so surprising because, you know, as much as he does a lot of singing, people don't realize what a wonderfully talented singer he is, too. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I love that. And I love that Fran also found you from theater, because that's how she found me. My friend, I was doing a show at Glendale Center Theater, and the girl who worked there, she knew Fran. They were really good friends. And when they were recasting, she's actually the one who got me into the room with Fran, and then Fran was the one who essentially booked me. I don't think I even had a producer session.
Fran Baskin was one of the greats. I mean, she
was
truly
amazing.
She loved actors. She mm-hmm. went everywhere to see him. She was always going to theater to see other people and stuff.
So she appreciated the craft, and it's true that, you know, theater actors can take on soap operas, I think, a lot easier than a film actor could, because with theater you have that one shot chance. Everything has to be perfect, and that's kind of how it is in soap operas too.
And it's fast, because you go from one act to the next act and the act, and you're over. So, yes, it is some of the hardest work I've ever had to do. When you're 100%. Memorizing 40 pages of dialogue a day, you don't go anywhere unless you have a photographic memory.
I have somewhat of a photographic memory, which has always been helpful for me. But I do remember hiding the script in like every spot that I could on days. There was just scripts everywhere.
Mine were always underneath the seat. I really worked hard to keep them memorized. And I think that's another thing for actors to realize, too, is that there are 15 ways you can say, hi, how are you, or how mm-hmm. is your day? And, you know, different, there's the where you put the inflection and things, words and dialogue changes. So when you're learning your script, try to figure out all of them, and then to be sure to listen to your partner. I mean, there's a certain story that has to be continued and to go. And sometimes getting from A to Z is a little different for one actor than another actor. In the soaps, it's very fast. If my one advice I'd say to people is, if you think things are getting screwed up, start coughing, because, and so they have to start over, because you don't always get that second chance. So.
For real. And then, so then you still go back to Days of Our Lives every once in a while, right?
I just got through, they have this thing called the Dual app that they a fun little series on. It's a free app. It's Dool app. It's a free app you can download onto your phone. And they have interviews, and they did a whole little series with all the kids from the early 90s. So it was a fun little thing that we got to go back and do. Just recently, and then before that, I was there in 2016. Bold and the Beautiful put me under contract, but they allowed me to go back and finish a storyline at Days for a little bit. And
which is kind of unheard of, to be on two soap operas at once if they don't intertwine with each other. I remember how they used to do that with like All My Children and One Life to Live, where characters would go back and forth. But
it's a little looser now, I think, like that. CBS is one of the tougher ones. So I'm very grateful to them that they allowed me to do that, and to Brad Bell for letting me finish the story.
Yeah.
Because when I went back to Days, I was just working virtually as a day player because I wasn't under contract anymore. So they could have said no, and then Days would have lost me to finish the story thing. So,
which would have been very sad.
Well, I mean, no, none of us are indispensable. I'm just grateful I got to do it. But we, you know, things happen, but it's been very good for me along those lines. And, you know, now I'm in another digital series. I mean, you and I started. And
yeah, we've been doing them before most people knew that digital series could be done. We did Misbehave first, and then Acting Dead and Ladies of the Lake. We've done so many together.
We still need to get your mom's script flag out there and just.
Oh, I know. Yeah. We got to do that. That would be the best. You guys, I'm not going to tell you too much about it to the people.
No,
listening,
we can't.
But,
we just,
it's really good.
At this point, so.
It's really good. You want to see
really
it.
Good. You really want to.
Okay. So now that we've kind of, you know, gone through your life as an actor, I'm sure there's a lot more that we missed. But I want to get to your story, the big one that got away.
The big one that got away. Well, I told you that I got to reprise my role in Daddy Stein, Who's Got the Will, the film.
Yeah.
And Sissy Spacek's husband was the director. And Sissy sent me a script. She said, Patrika, this is your script. This is wonderful. I just got this. And I don't think there's a part right for me in here, but it's your script. And she sent it to me and I read it and flipped out. I went, oh my God, it is mine. Sissy, thank you. Then I'm with my agents and everything like that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I didn't even get to read for it. The show was called Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, no.
And the offer went to Kathy Bates right away. But Kathy had an Oscar, and who was Patrika Darbo?
Right. So, but, my God, you didn't even get to audition.
No, that's always the tough thing when you don't get to audition. But you know what? I'm sure there are people out there that go, damn that Patrika Darbo. She got that part and I really wanted it. So
it's true.
That's the way it goes. It was a very sad thing that I didn't get it, sad thing I didn't even get to read for it. Mm. But I'm still here. I'm still working, as is Kathy Bates and I'm sure other people that I might have taken a role from that they felt I did. So,
I guess if you have to lose a role to someone, Kathy Bates is a great person to lose a role to.
I would say absolutely, honey. I'm very grateful that Sissy thought that it was a good thing for me. And, but we go on and...
That's so cool that you had that relationship with Sissy as well.
Well, it was wonderful. The whole thing was just a wonderful experience. And then to have that, the film Daddy's Dying was that.
Yeah.
And, what's so interesting is I'm still working with Dell. I did, I originated the role of Nolita Nethercott in Sordid Lives, which is went to television and went on to film. But again, I was under contract to Days and could not do his film or television of it. Another actress did it and did it well and still doing it. And that's the way it goes. So
that's the way the cookie crumbles.
There you go, honey. Not much you can do.
No, not much you can do. That's something that's definitely you have to learn in this industry, is that a lot of it is out of your control and you kind of just have to go with the waves.
Well, if you don't, then you might as well go get something else, because, it's going to be a lot of ups and downs. First of all, if you can't take rejection, you definitely have to get out of this, because we're in a rejection business. And a lot of times, as I said earlier, it has nothing to do with your talent. We want a blonde. We want somebody older. We want somebody younger. We want somebody taller. Yeah. We want somebody shorter, fatter, skinny, whatever.
I've even been in the situation where they, like, in the room have asked me if I'll dye my hair. And I'm like, yeah, whatever you need me to do, I'll dye my hair. And it's right. Not enough. They're like, but.
Yeah. Well, at this point, we're shooting tomorrow. We don't know if your hair is going to turn out like. So we're going to go with the blonde actress. Yeah.
Yep. Basically.
It's crazy. So,
It's wild. Yeah. I remember I've only ever had my hair dyed like on set once when I did Castle, and they dyed it black because I was playing
goth. When you played that little cute goth character, you were adorable,
and it was wild to like literally sit in the trailer and have your hair dyed just because that's what they wanted, and it was great. I actually kept the black hair for a bit because I kind of was digging it at the time. I was a silly teenager, but it's wild what they'll do to make you the character. I actually kind of prefer it when they do that, and like they see you as an actor and they're like, you're great. We're going to have you look like the character now and transform your look and do that, because they know that you're the person to do it, to do the role.
Which was wonderful. And you were playing opposite, and I can't think of the little girl's name that played Castle's daughter.
Molly Quinn.
Molly. You know, but where's Molly right this month? I haven't seen Molly doing a lot lately. So, you see, you go from being a series regular to going to, what happened to little Molly? Where is she right now? And and because of her age and the things she's doing, she could be doing a million things that are out of my realm, because as I said, I'm a dinosaur, so I'm not watching certain shows for certain age groups. So, it's like you're in, one minute you're up, one minute you're down. It's just like whether you let yourself stay down there or you reinvent and keep moving forward.
It's a total roller coaster, and you got to find things to keep you occupied that aren't killing your soul in between the acting gigs.
No, I'm still waiting for our last thing to come out and figure out what's going to happen with
A really fun short film called Vinyl Child with Creed Bratton, and that was so much fun. We even got to shut down the Santa Monica Pier and shoot on the roller coaster for a day, which was
it was so much fun. Anyway,
I loved hearing you guys scream. It was my favorite part, was just you and Creed screaming at the top of your lungs.
And in reality, we're on a baby roller coaster. And yeah. Creed didn't want to ride it in the first place because he was more frightened of it. But, you know, he was a trooper and got on there and we did do it. It was fun. And
it was so fun. I can't wait for that to come out. I think it's a funny little short film. Really special. Well, I am so grateful that you came on the show today and talked to me about Fried Green Tomatoes and all of the other things. Where can people find you on social media?
I am Darbo Patrika on Instagram and Patrika Darbo on Twitter and Facebook, Patrika Darbo. There are no initials, just plain Patrika Darbo. And, if you need to email me, you email me or DM me or whatever you need to do. I'm there.
Oh my goodness. Well, everybody, let's send really big, great vibes to Patrika tomorrow. Hopefully she wins this Emmy. Let's go, Patrika. Let's go, yay, Patrika. And everybody should watch Studio City, which is on Amazon. Is that correct?
Yes, it's on Amazon. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Patrika.
All right, my darling.
Thank you again to Patrika Darbo for coming on the show. I love her. I hope we can get a big margarita soon and hopefully celebrate her Emmy win. Let's all give some good vibes to her this weekend. Good vibes, y'all. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe to it wherever you're listening to it right now. You can also follow the show on social media. Those links are in the show notes. Tune in next week to hear my friend Martha Madison tell the story of how she got the role that she's most known for. It's a pretty, pretty epic and crazy roller coaster that she went on. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear it. As always, thanks for coming in.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.